The scripture reading for this afternoon is Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 28. Mark 1, verses 16 through 28. Right now in Edgerton, I'm doing a series on the book of Mark, and this is the fifth sermon. The text is going to be Mark 1, verses 21 through 28, on Jesus speaking powerfully and also healing a man from a devil. Mark 1, 21 through 28 is the text. It's lengthy. It will be referred to throughout the sermon, but I will not reread it at the end of the scripture reading here. So pay close attention to verses 21 through 28. We will begin at verse 16. Now as he, and that's Jesus, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. So far do we read the word of God tonight. May he bless the reading of scripture to our hearts. One of the unique features of the book of Mark is how often it speaks of Jesus casting out devils. There are 9 instances recorded in this book in which Jesus heals a man of devil possession or a child. That is far more than any other book. Any other gospel account talks about Jesus healing people of devil possession, but not to that extent. So the question is, why is there such an emphasis in the book of Mark on Jesus casting out devils? Well, the instances in which Jesus casts out devils, what they serve to remind us is that Jesus is more powerful than the devil, and that he really defeated Satan. He defeated him here in this story, but also at the cross. Serves to remind us of that. And that all fits with the theme of the book of Mark. The theme of the book of Mark is that Jesus has divine power. And by his power, he defeats all the enemies of himself and of us. So it's wonderful. It's wonderful to consider he defeats. He, the all-powerful one, defeats all our enemies. So we consider that today. And we're thankful that we can consider it. We're thankful for Christ's work. Today in particular, we hear about the first instance in which Jesus cast a devil out of a man. And this first instance has a unique emphasis. When Jesus healed this man of a devil, the people connected Jesus' work of teaching, connected his teaching with his work of healing the man from devil possession. Listen to verse 27. They were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this?" That is, what new teaching is this? "For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." So he connects Jesus' teaching, we read about in verses 21 and 22, connects that with Jesus' powerful healing of this man. So in the text that we look at today, we are going to see Jesus' great ability to teach and see how that's connected with his power to cast out a devil. There's a wonderful connection there. And as we see that, let's see the greatness of our Savior. Let's praise him from the heart to his glory. Let's consider the text under the theme, Jesus' authority shown. Jesus' authority shown. First, shown in teaching. Second, shown in a miracle. And third, shown to many. Jesus' authority shown. First, shown in teaching. On the Sabbath day after Jesus had called the first four disciples to follow him everywhere he went, on that first Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue at Capernaum. Mark 1, verse 21, "They went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught." A synagogue is a place of worship, a place where the Jews would gather to worship God. The word synagogue itself means an assembling together. So their synagogues were a lot like this church right here, this church building. Synagogue was a place where the people, where the Jews would come together to worship God. Now synagogues started when the Jews were in captivity in Babylon. You understand, as they were in Babylon, they were far away from the temple where they used to worship God. So what the people did is they set up synagogues in various parts of Babylon where they could gather to worship Jehovah. Now, when the Jews went back to the land of Canaan, when they were allowed to go back, they set up those synagogues throughout the land of Judea. Particularly, there were lots of synagogues in the northern part, far away from the temple. There were synagogues especially in Galilee, in those cities of Capernaum, Nazareth, Cana. At the synagogue, there would be a service each Sabbath day that was somewhat similar to our church services. At the synagogue, there would be a ruler of the synagogue that would read a passage of Scripture. He would explain that passage. They would sing a song, a psalm. They would pray. They would give an offering, a collection. Lots like our church services then. Now, each synagogue had a body of elders that supervised the members of the synagogue. From this body of elders, a ruler was chosen, as was just stated. We talked about that ruler. From that body of elders, a ruler was chosen who did the reading of Scripture and the teaching of Scripture, led in song. And usually that ruler was a scribe. Scribes were closely associated with the Pharisees. They were those who were really experts in Old Testament law. They copied down the Scriptures, they studied those Old Testament Scriptures, and they interpreted them. So usually it was a scribe that was the ruler in the synagogue who taught. But on occasion, when the ruler of the synagogue would see someone in the audience that everybody knew had a great ability to teach, maybe a former scribe, maybe somebody else, when that ruler would see somebody they knew who could teach the word, they would ask that person to speak. And that's really what happened on the day that Jesus went into Capernaum and went into the synagogue. He was given the opportunity to speak on the Sabbath day. We read in verse 21, "He entered into the synagogue and taught." He was given the opportunity to speak because Jesus was already known then as one who had a great ability to teach. According to Mark, that this particular event that we read about, and that's our text, it likely happened about a year after Jesus began his public ministry. So people already knew about his ability to teach. According to Mark 1, verse 14, Jesus had already gone into Galilee. He had been preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Verse 15 says he'd been calling the people to repent and believe. So people knew about Jesus. And he had already performed that amazing miracle at Cana, where he changed the water into wine. So when this ruler of the synagogue saw him, he asked Jesus to speak. And Jesus did speak. The text says he taught. What did Jesus teach? Mark 1, verses 21 and 22 does not say specifically what Jesus taught in the synagogue that day. However, again, we do know from the rest of Scripture that when someone taught in the synagogue, they would read an Old Testament passage. Then they would explain that passage. Jesus himself did that in the synagogue in Nazareth, according to Scripture. In Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, we have there recorded what Jesus taught in the synagogue in Nazareth. Luke 4, 16 through 21. We read there, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. So Jesus opened a scroll. They had scrolls then. Turned to Isaiah 61, verses 18 and 19. He quotes Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So Jesus read the scriptures, Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. And then we read in Luke 4, verse 20, it says, "He closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister," that is to the ruler, "and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." So we see from Luke 4, Jesus read the scripture. And then as the custom was, he sat down and he explained the scripture. He said, "I am the fulfillment of Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. I am the Messiah who has been sent to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. I am that one. I am the promised Messiah." So you see, Jesus preached the gospel then. Preached the gospel in Nazareth. It's likely he did the same thing in Capernaum then when he went into the synagogue there, as Mark 1 says he did. He read from the scriptures. He explained he was the fulfillment of those Old Testament scriptures. He was the Savior from sin. He called the people to repent and believe in him. That all fits, too, with what Mark 1, 14 and 15 say that Jesus did in Galilee at this time. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. "Repent ye and believe the gospel," verse 15. So Jesus taught in the synagogue. He really taught the truth of the gospel. Understand that Jesus, he's not here physically on this earth anymore, but Jesus actually teaches in the church today too. Kids, maybe you didn't know that, or maybe you've been told that, but you're being reminded tonight, and adults too, but kids, realize you are being taught every Sunday by Jesus. His voice, Jesus' voice, is heard in the preaching of the Word. Now, we hear Jesus teach us in the preaching is clear from many passages of Scripture, but we will just consider one. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. Ephesians 2, verse 17, Paul writes this to the church in Ephesus. He says that Jesus came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. So Paul said Jesus preached to these Ephesians. Now, that might seem strange because you might think, how did Jesus speak to these Ephesians? These Ephesians did not hear the gospel until the time when Paul visited there on his missionary journey. How did Jesus preach to them? Well, how he did it was through the apostles. He did it through the preachers. He preached through the minister of the word in Ephesus. That's how he did it. We hear Jesus speak to us today, too, in the preaching. Now, in order for Christ to be heard through gospel preaching today, a couple different things must be true. First, only the scriptures must be preached. In order to hear Jesus today through the preaching, only the scriptures must be taught. The scriptures alone are Christ's word to his people. So Christ is heard from the pulpit. He is heard when the scriptures are brought. Everything that's said by the minister then must come from scripture. When he preaches a sermon, what he must do is explain the words that are in the scriptures, in Christ's word. He must explain the words. And when he says anything, it must all be able to be backed up by Scripture. It must be supported all by Scripture, by Christ's word. Or else we aren't hearing Christ. So in order for us to hear Christ, we need to be taught the Scriptures. Second, understand that Christ is heard in the preaching only when an ordained minister is speaking. That is only when a minister that's called is speaking. According to Romans 10, verse 15, the preacher must be sent. That is called by Christ's church. Romans 10, verse 15 says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" So when a minister is preaching the scriptures, and when that minister is called by a church to preach, then you are hearing Christ teach you. That's what you're hearing today. You hear Christ teaching today. He speaks to you through a called minister of the gospel. He explains the passage to you through the preacher. He brings the same message through the preacher today that he brought to those people in the synagogue 2,000 years ago. Christ, through the preacher, declares the gospel. He declares that that's what the gospel is. It's the good news that Jesus has come. The Savior has come, and all those who repent and believe in him shall be saved. He speaks to us today, showing to us our sin and our calling to repent and believe in Christ, in him. He speaks that to us. He speaks the gospel as he did in Capernaum. And that truly is a wonderful thing when you really think about it. Jesus teaching us each Sunday. Thanks be to God for that. And Jesus taught in the synagogue with authority. He taught in the synagogue with authority. Mark 1 verse 22 says, "And they were," that is the people, "were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes." That Jesus taught as one who had authority means that he taught as one who had the right to teach and as one who had power, who had ability to teach. First, when the people said that Jesus taught as one who had authority, that means that Jesus taught as one who had the right to teach. What he said and how he said it showed that he wasn't unqualified to teach the scriptures and therefore really had no right to be standing in front of them declaring the truth. Jesus showed clearly that he knew the scriptures. He knew how to explain them. And the way that he did it all showed that he had the right to speak before them. He had the right to teach. Now not everybody in the synagogue believed that Jesus was the Son of God. But he is. He is the Son of God. So he certainly had the right to teach the people here. He's the Son of God. He knows, perfectly knows the Scriptures. He has the right to teach them. So, that Jesus taught as one who had authority means he had the right to do it. Also, that word authority in the text has the idea of power. The people said that Jesus taught as one who had power. That Jesus taught as one having power. That word there especially means he had the ability to teach. He had the ability to explain the Scriptures in the right way. He taught the truth, and he perfectly explained it. He's the perfect preacher. So he had a great ability to explain the Scriptures, and also he had a great ability to keep the audience listening. Great strength, great power to keep them captivated on every word that he said. His words were weighty. One didn't want to miss a single thing that he said. The people's eyes were right on him. The people's ears, they were listening. They didn't want to miss it. He held them captivated. There was power. There was authority in his teaching. And that was so much different than the teaching of the scribes. We read in verse 22, he taught them as one that had authority, a right to teach, power, and not as the scribes. The scribes taught as those who had no power. The scribes did not have a great ability to teach the Scriptures. They didn't have a great ability because the scribes didn't understand the truth of Scripture. They didn't know the truth. They taught the lie of works righteousness. In Matthew 5, verse 21 and forward, Jesus speaks of how the scribes and Pharisees viewed the law simply as being demands that must be kept outwardly. And viewing the law simply as demands that must be kept outwardly, they said to the people, you can keep the law and you can earn salvation. You can make yourself righteous before God by keeping the law perfectly. These scribes and Pharisees, then, they did not have great ability to teach the Scriptures. And in their supposed explanations of Scripture, the scribes would give all kinds of extra-biblical rules that weren't found in Scripture. So these rules were so elaborate and so petty that people couldn't even totally understand what was required. And kids, you've heard about some of those in catechism, some of the rules they had about the Sabbath day, for instance. We learn in Mark 7 that one of the rules they had is you could not carry anything over the weight of half a fig on the Sabbath day. Another rule they had that we read about in Scripture is how you had to wash your hands a certain way and a certain amount of times before you ate your food. They had all these rules, extra-biblical rules. So while Jesus brought the truth and had a great ability to bring the teaching of Scripture before them, these scribes had no ability to bring the truth of Scripture. And these scribes, they not only didn't have the ability to teach, they also really didn't have the ability to hold an audience. The people had a difficult time listening to them as they went on and on and on with all of these different strange rules. There's a book called the Talmud. It's called the Talmud, and that book records the man-made laws of the scribes and Pharisees, and that book shows that their laws do go on and on and on and on, and the people, they lost interest. So these people who were used to listening to the scribes, who didn't have authority, they were amazed then when they heard Jesus teach, one who had the right to teach, one who had power in his teaching, captivated them. Jesus teaches, he taught with authority then, he teaches with authority today too. Jesus has a mighty ability to explain the Scriptures today as well, and he does so through the minister of the Word. He has a mighty ability. He brings us the truth every week. He doesn't teach us works righteousness. He doesn't teach us all kinds of petty man-made laws. No, he brings to us the gospel truth, bringing to us the good news that Jesus has come and that all those who repent and believe in him shall be saved. He brings to us the truth about God's law, showing to us what commandments we are to obey in thankfulness to God. He explains that to us and does so clearly. He has ability to teach, and he does so through the minister. He also has a mighty ability to hold an audience and to keep us listening. Think about it. We can have a hard time listening to someone speak somewhere else for an hour. But week after week, we can come here. And Jesus captivates us with his speech. Speaks to us of matters of life and death. And holds us tight so we listen. We hear about the Savior and his work and how it applies to us. We're thankful to God that we get to hear Jesus' powerful teaching week after week after week. Thanks be to God for that. So Jesus taught as one who had authority, the right to teach, the power to teach, and he still does today. Jesus' authority was shown in his teaching, but also shown in a miracle. Shown in a miracle. There was a man at the synagogue that was possessed with a devil, and Jesus healed that man. Well, let's understand, this man was at the synagogue was possessed with a devil, and this devil feared Jesus. When Jesus got done teaching, a man came up to him, a man that had an unclean spirit, according to verse 23. An unclean spirit inside of him. Now, Luke 4, verse 33, a parallel passage, calls this unclean spirit a devil. What was this unclean spirit or devil? Well, first, the word spirit helps us out. He was a spirit. That's a non-physical being that could pass into someone's body. Also, he's called unclean, meaning that he's the opposite of pure. He's totally impure. All purity's gone from him. He's unclean. He's evil, wicked. And third, he's called the devil in Luke 4, verse 33. Called the devil. He called the devil because he's a servant of Satan. A servant of Satan. In Revelation 12, verse 9, we read that when Satan rebelled against God in heaven, then he took a number of angels along with him out of heaven. There were these angels that fell with Satan. Revelation 12, verse 9 says, the great dragon was cast out. It's cast out of heaven. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So the angels that were cast out with Satan are called devils or demons. And these devils or demons, they're enemies of God. And they're wicked. They're unclean. The man at the synagogue had a devil in him. This devil controlled the man's mind. This devil controlled the man's body. And with this particular man, we read of the devil speaking through him. We even read in verse 24 that this man that went up to Jesus, the devil spoke through him and said, let us alone. Let us alone. He spoke in the plural. So he was speaking for the man too, saying, let us alone. This devil spoke through this man. And that was truly a horrible thing. Think of that. Someone, this is a devil. This devil was wicked. He did not in any way seek the good of this man. And he was controlling this man's tongue. That'd be horrible. And we read it in the rest of Scripture of many other horrible things that devils would do to the people that they possessed. In one instance, there was a devil that would make a man deaf and dumb. He couldn't hear, he couldn't speak. In another instance, there was a child that had a devil in him who was throwing himself into a fire and getting burned terribly again and again. Devil possession was horrible, and this man had a devil in him controlling his tongue. That is the man here in this synagogue. Now the devil that was in this man in the synagogue, he feared Jesus. Verse 23 and 24, we read that this devil cried out through the man. He said, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us?" When the devil said, let us alone, he was really saying, don't bother us. He was afraid of Jesus. He was worried about being destroyed by Jesus. And when he uses the word destroy there, he doesn't mean that he's afraid of annihilation. He's afraid of ruin. That's what the word destroy there means. He's afraid of being ruined. That is, he's afraid of his power in this man that he possesses. He's afraid of his power being destroyed, being ruined. And he's afraid of being sent down to do hell right then, to the place of torment right then. That's what he's afraid of, his power being ruined and of being sent to the great abyss. Now, this devil was so afraid of Jesus because he knew that Jesus was the Holy One of God. He even says this, "I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." Verse 24. That's why he was so afraid. He knew Jesus to be the Holy One of God. The devils know who God is. They know a lot about him. James 2, verse 19 says, "Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." That is, the devils believe that God exists. They know he exists. They know who he is. And when this particular devil and this man in the synagogue heard Jesus speak, and heard Jesus speak with such power, he trembled. He was afraid. He knew Jesus could destroy him because he knew Jesus was the Holy One of Israel. Holy One of God, excuse me. Holy One of God. He calls Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. So he acknowledges that Jesus is a man. He's from the town of Nazareth. But he also says Jesus is of God. That means, when the devil says Jesus was of God, that means he was from God. He was the Son of God that was sent by God. The Son of God sent by God. And the devil said, too, that Jesus was holy. That word holy means set apart. The devil is saying this, Jesus is set apart from all sin. He's perfectly righteous. So the devil knew that Jesus was the opposite of him. He was unclean and Jesus was perfectly clean. But also there's this. When that devil called Jesus holy, he knew too that Jesus was the one who was set apart. Set apart to come and gain for his people salvation. That's what he was set apart for. He was the anointed one. As Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, he was the set apart one by God, set apart to come and gain for his people eternal salvation from sin and from the devil and from eternal death. This devil said that. This is the Holy One of God. It's the Son of God. He's holy. He's come to destroy Satan and all his servants. By calling Jesus the Holy One of God, then the devil was really admitting that Jesus had authority over him and really admitting that Jesus could destroy him. Even though the devil was admitting that, had to admit it, there was a devious plan here that this devil had. The devil in the man had a purpose in calling Jesus the Holy One of God. He wasn't doing that to praise Jesus. A devil is someone who deceives. The very word devil means deceiver. And this devil was seeking to deceive the people by calling Jesus the Holy One of God. This devil went up to Jesus and said this to try to bring others in the audience to think that Jesus was in a league with the devil. He wanted the people to think, this Jesus, he's dark. He's unclean. The devil and him are friends must be, because the devil is saying he's the Holy One of God, so they must be together. Jesus is dark. We want nothing to do with him. We're not going to follow him. That's what this devil and the man wanted to have happen. But Jesus shows his authority. Jesus showed his authority by casting the devil out. Jesus gave that devil two commands. Verse 25 says that he first said, "Hold thy peace." And that means be silent, be muzzled. He said, "Be silent, devil, and then come out." And what happened? Well, right away the devil came out. He had to come out of that man. He had to obey. Jesus has all the power. Verse 26 says, "When the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him." So the devil obeyed, but he did it unwillingly. We read in verse 26, he tore that man. And what that means is that he put this man into convulsions. He made him to writhe on the ground and twist his body parts all in different ways. It was horrible. And he made that man cry out. So the devil came out of the man, but did it all unwillingly. When he cast the devil out, though, Jesus showed his authority. The devil did obey. Verse 27. The people recognize that Jesus showed his authority here. Verse 27. "They were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him.'" So when Jesus commanded the devil to come out, he did that with authority. He gave that command with authority, the text says. By speaking, by giving a command, he powerfully removed that devil from the man. This devil had wreaked havoc upon the man, making him do all kinds of things, say all kinds of things. Nobody could help this man. He was helpless. Jesus came along, Jesus spoke, and that devil came out. That's the power of Jesus' word. That's the authority. That's divine power. And you notice that the people rightly connected the power that Jesus had shown in his teaching with the power that he had shown in casting out this devil. They connected the two. When they saw Jesus cast out the devil, you see what they said in verse 27. They said, "What thing is this? What new doctrine or what new teaching is this?" They were connecting the powerful teaching that Jesus had just done with this powerful work of removing the devil by his word. They're saying his word is so powerful when he teaches. And also with his word, he can even remove a devil. That's power. That's ability. And that's something new. They said, "What new doctrine is this? This is something we haven't seen before." Power, divine power. And that's exactly why God caused there to be so much devil possession during Jesus' day. So the people might see Jesus' power. And we might hear of it today. Most believe that we do not see demon possession like there was anymore in the days of Jesus. God caused there to be so much demon possession when Jesus was alive so he would show forth his absolute power. He would show forth his absolute power over devils, and thus also absolute power over the prince of those devils, Satan. That's why this happened. Jesus had authority over Satan then, and Jesus has authority over Satan today too. He's still more powerful than Satan. Jesus lives, and he's the ascended Lord. He has all the power over that great enemy of ours, the devil. And we read in this history here that Jesus, the devil, cried out, "Don't destroy us," or "Don't destroy me." Jesus cast that devil out. We know that today too, Jesus destroys Satan's power in us. He ruins Satan's power in us. Let's understand that. Let's understand that wonderful truth. You see, naturally, Satan does rule us. We sinned in Adam, and as just punishment for our sin, God gave Satan the right to rule us. So that naturally, it's without the work of God in us, naturally all we want to do is sin, and all we can do is sin. If left to ourselves, we would go with Satan to be destroyed forever in hell. Understand the wonderful news of the gospel. Jesus went to the cross, and he gained the right to destroy Satan's power in us by his work at the cross. And by his work at the cross, he gained the right to rule us. See, Jesus paid for all of our sins there so that we are not guilty sinners in God's sight. And therefore, the devil does not have any more the right to rule us. Jesus has that right. And Jesus, during our lives, he comes and destroys Satan's power in us. Comes and destroys it. Ruins it. He sends his Spirit, who regenerates us, who implants life in us, so that he now rules within us, not Satan. Jesus destroys the power of the devil by working through the preaching in our hearts to believe and to serve him. That's again the connection between Jesus' word and his destruction of the devil and the power of the devil. That's what he does through the preaching. He works in us to believe in him. He works in us to hear God's commandments and to say, I will walk that way in thankfulness. He works in us through the preaching to say no to the temptations of the devil and say yes to God. That's his power in the preaching, in the teaching. He says, believe, and he works in our hearts to believe. He says, turn, and he works in our hearts to turn through the Word, the powerful Word. That's our Savior. And that's why the devil trembles at the preaching. That's why he hates the preaching. Hates it today, too. He hated it then. He hated to hear it at the synagogue. Hates it today too, because Jesus delivers us from Satan's power through the preaching. So keep coming to hear it. Keep coming to hear Jesus teach us. That's the way in which he's pleased to work, Jesus is, to work in us, to serve him. And that's very comforting. It's so comforting that Jesus has the authority over the devil. What it means is we cannot be plucked out of his hand. Cannot be plucked out of his hand. The devil brings temptations to us and our children. He seeks to destroy. Wants to destroy. Especially in these last days, you know that. The temptations can become greater and greater and greater. What he wants to do with us and our children is bring us into a certain sin. Slowly. He's willing to work very slowly so long as he can bring us into unrepentance and keep us there until death. You think of a sin like pornography or something like that, just ever so slowly, bring someone down into that sin and destroy him in it. That's what they want to do. That's what the devils want to do. But the devil can't destroy us. Jesus has the power, and he will not allow the devil to destroy us. Again, he works through the Word to bring us to repentance. He works through the Word to bring us to serve him more and more. He's powerful. He's Jesus. Now this truth that Jesus had authority and power, it was spread to many. Spread to many. The people in Capernaum, in this synagogue, they were amazed by Jesus' teaching and his miracle. First, verse 22 says that when they heard Jesus teach, they were astonished. They were astonished. And that word there means to be struck by a blow. So Jesus' teaching was so powerful and had them so captivated that it was as if they had been struck by something when they heard it. awestruck, amazed. Verse 27 says the people had a similar reaction to Jesus expelling of this devil from the man. Verse 27 says they were all amazed in so much that they questioned themselves, saying, "What thing is this?" They were awestruck by his power. He spoke, and the devil came out. By his word, he did that. Amazing. Well, they were amazed, and so are we amazed too at who Jesus is and what he does and his power over the devil. We are amazed by his teaching. When we sit in the pew and Jesus, we hear Jesus teach us, we are amazed. It's Jesus, the Son of God, that's speaking to us. And he captivates us. He brings to us matters of life and death. We hear it. We felt that. We know what that's like. When we consider Jesus' power over the devil, too, we are struck by his power, and we are amazed by it. That he went to the cross and destroyed the power and made it so that the devil cannot rule us. He has no right to rule us. He now regenerates us and he works in us through the preaching to serve him. We are amazed by his power. And being amazed, what we are to do is to spread his fame abroad. Spread his fame abroad. The people that heard Jesus teach and saw this miracle, according to verse 28, they spread his fame abroad. It says, immediately his fame spread abroad throughout the region round about Galilee. They told everybody about this power that they had seen. So you should hear him preach. You should hear him teach. You need to see these miracles that he does. Now we must remember that these people did spread his fame abroad, but many of them did not believe in him, did not believe he was the Son of God, the promised Messiah. We know that because in Matthew 11, verses 23 and 24, we read that many in Capernaum did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and Jesus pronounced a word of woe upon them. They were amazed by what Jesus had done, and they spoke of his power, but many of them stopped there. They were unwilling to confess that he was the Son of God, the promised Messiah. They didn't believe in him for their salvation. Yet many of them still spread the truth of his power around. Now we who have heard Jesus teach, and we who have actually experienced his powerful work of salvation in us, we certainly are to spread abroad his fame and speak of his great power to others. You see, we haven't just seen him do powerful things. We haven't just been captivated by his speech. But we've actually experienced his powerful work in us. He's worked in us to believe. He's worked in us to seek to serve him. He's worked in us to say no to the devil. We've experienced his powerful work in us. So we certainly are to go out and speak to others about his greatness. About his power. If the Jews who didn't even believe in him, if they spread his fame abroad, we certainly ought to do that. So let's look for every opportunity to do it. Every opportunity. Pray for strength to do that this week. You may think, well, everybody around me, they already know. Well, maybe they don't know. Or maybe they're going on in a wrong way. Look for opportunities to speak to them about who Jesus is and what he has done for you and what he is doing for you and his great power. Speak to them. Seek to do that on social media too. Many opportunities today of sharing the great news that Jesus is the Savior. Speaking of his power and glory. Let's do that to his praise. He's the God. He is the Savior who has delivered us from the devil, who continues to guard us and keep us. Let's praise him by spreading his fame abroad. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we lean upon thee for strength. We know that apart from thee, we would be destroyed by the devil. Thou, O God, hast sent the Spirit to regenerate us. And even as the devil attacks, thou dost continue to deliver us from him, working in us through the preaching to believe and to honor thee. What a great God thou art. What a Savior we have, Jesus Christ. We pray that we may this week and tonight even spread his fame abroad. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.